Last night, NPR continued its series on cancer with a story about Mary Harris, a cancer survivor and a health editor at WNYC in New York. About a year and a half ago, Mary found a lump in her breast and began preparing for the grueling drill of surgery, radiation, and chemotherapy. But then she got another piece of unexpected news.
The day before I was scheduled for surgery, we were at brunch. It was Columbus Day. And we got a call from the nurse. And so I called her back and I'm walking out of the restaurant and she said, "So, we're looking at your results, your blood work here. You know, is there any chance that you're pregnant?" And I was like, "Why don't you tell me? Is there a chance that I'm pregnant?"
Mary Harris joins us now. And Mary, I can't even imagine, because on the one hand, you have this amazing news about your pregnancy, but it must have been completely tempered or maybe even ruined by the other news that you've just gotten.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I called my mom the same day, obviously, and said, you know, this is happening. And she sounded so happy and excited. And I said, you know, this isn't great news. We don't know what's going on. We don't know why this has happened or if it's a real pregnancy or if it'll last or if we can keep it. But it was such a mix of emotions. It was a pregnancy we very much wanted, but we just didn't know if we'd be able to keep it.
So what did doctors tell you was on the table?
So they made me basically promise to keep termination on the table until they figured out what was going on with the cancer. And we made the decision together that we would go through with the surgery, hope the fetus survived because there was a chance that that would make me lose the pregnancy, and see what happened next. So we did that. We postponed the surgery a week, had it the next week, checked on the fetus. Everything seemed okay. And then basically waited for pathology results to tell us if we could continue the pregnancy. And the good news was the pathology looked good. It seems like they got all the cancer out. And so they said, okay, we can move forward with this, but you're also very young. You're 35 at diagnosis. So we can't just end things here. Mm. We really need to do chemo. And that's a pretty new thing for oncologists.
Right. I mean, so let's talk about that. You had the decision to make whether or not you would not only have the baby, but also have the baby after receiving chemotherapy. And that decision, I imagine, was not easy. And I guess that's probably an understatement.
We really went around and around about it. Originally, we thought, okay, this is great. We know that the science says that the chemo is safe and we'll move forward with it. And then as we got closer and closer to when we were supposed to get the chemotherapy, we just got more and more nervous because I wasn't eating shellfish, right? But there I was about to have chemotherapy. So we got a second opinion. We talked to lots and lots of doctors. And really, the word was, this should be safe. We have data showing that kids are okay after being born, after having chemotherapy, but it's just uncomfortable for everyone.
Well, what about that? What do we actually know about the safety of a chemotherapy treatment during pregnancy? Because I don't feel like, even if I had a study that said, oh, sure, it's going to be fine, that you wouldn't still think that you're putting poison into your body to kill cancerous cells.
So there's one really good study that was done in Geneva. It's actually ongoing. The doctor there has followed women for years and years. Every year, the women and their children come to his clinic for a checkup, and he sees how they're doing. And this doctor, Dr. Frederick Amont, says if you line up 100 kids who are quote-unquote normal and 100 kids who had chemo while their mom was pregnant, you won't be able to tell a difference. It's not that those kids don't need glasses. It's not that those kids don't have asthma. It's just that they are average and normal. And there's no reason to think that something will go wrong. So that's what it is. But no one knows the science of why. No one can say, oh, it's the placenta protecting the baby. Mm-hmm. They will tell you that, you know, your baby will probably be born with hair. My baby was actually born with more hair than I had at the time. But no one knows why.
How did your friends and your family respond to it? Because as you said, you were avoiding shellfish. I mean, pregnant women don't eat soft cheeses. And a lot of that has to do with the judgment that is put upon them by their peers, other mothers, other families who might look at them a little askance if they were to do something like this.
So the funny thing about telling friends and family was that we'd, of course, told everyone, I have cancer. And that had been the big news. And then we were waiting on what's happening with the pregnancy. So then all of a sudden, a few months later, we're telling them I'm pregnant, and they would just get this look on their face like, "You're what? What? my favorite was someone said, well, was that intentional? I was like, well, no, obviously, you know, the cancer wasn't intentional. But of course, you know, I wanted the baby. The cancer was the thing I didn't want.
Did people ever say anything to you like, you know, have you considered an abortion or are you sure you want to keep this baby?
You know, people never said that to me. I feel like people were more just shocked that it was possible. And everyone wants to get behind a baby, you know? Yeah. Everyone wants it to be okay for the baby. So everyone was sort of behind it and just watchful, waiting.
This brings up a bigger question about cancer and fertility. And it's, you know, this question not as uncommon as it once was, cancer being diagnosed earlier for many people, women having babies in their life. What did you learn about maintaining fertility for people who have cancer?
So the funny thing was that before I found out I was pregnant, we had been trying to have a baby before I was diagnosed with cancer. So we had been looking into how are we going to do that? Are we still going to be able to do that given the cancer diagnosis? And what I learned was surprising to me, and I'm a medical journalist. I know these things. But it was surprising because it wasn't just the fact that chemo may shut down your fertility. I kind of knew that. But even adoption was not really on the table. Adoption agencies like to see a 5-year survival from cancer. And I was 35. I had a 6-year-old son. So for me, it seemed like that was over for me. Mm. And it was really surprising just how limiting it really seemed for women with cancer to kind of deal with their diagnosis and then also think about fertility, especially since women are being diagnosed younger and younger.
Mm. And your baby, Estella is her name, I think, right?
Yep.
How's she doing?
She's great. You know, I think I'm going to watch her for the rest of her life and just, you know, watch and hope she's okay. You never know. But right now she seems great. She's 8 months old and happy and eating and doing all the cute baby things.
That's great. I mean, what an amazing story. I wonder as she gets older and absolutely, you know, God forbid that anything would happen. But is it sort of like a dark cloud hanging over you at all, even through all the joy that if something did go wrong with her, that there would be some sort of tremendous guilt?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I felt guilt going through it where I thought, oh, gosh, what am I doing? I've dragged this person into this situation with me, and she really had no free will. She had no choice. So I do think that I will continue to watch and wait and hope that things are okay. But the evidence really does show that she should be fine. Her fertility should be fine. Her cardiac function should be fine. Her brain should be fine. All those things should be fine. One of the doctors I talked to when I was trying to decide about chemotherapy, really encouraged me to get a second opinion, not because she thought my treatment was wrong, not because she thought I shouldn't get the chemo, but she said things go wrong with kids all the time and no one really knows why. And so you need the second opinion so you feel good about what you're doing, not so much so you don't look back later and say, did I do the wrong thing? So you know you did the right thing and you're not constantly questioning yourself. And I thought there was a lot of wisdom in that.
Yeah, you know, anyone who's ever dealt with cancer knows how incredibly draining it can be emotionally and physically. And then anyone who's ever dealt with having a baby knows just how draining it can be emotionally and physically. And I'm hearing your story and I'm hearing the energy and the joy in your voice. And I just wonder how in the world you were able to emerge from all this.
Well, you've got to, right? I mean, I just feel like it's so important to keep living your life. So many people get the diagnosis of cancer now, and they keep living their lives for a long time. It's not a death sentence. It's not the end of the story. And so I really felt like I needed to keep living my story and not be defined by the cancer. And I feel like I was able to do that. And in a way, having the pregnancy allowed me to do that even more.
We've been talking to Mary Harris, science editor for WNYC in New York City. Her story was part of a 10-part series on cancer co-produced by WNYC and NPR. You can hear more of the stories in that series by going to our webpage, hereandnow.org. Mary, thanks very much.
Thanks so much.